You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, I had intended to spend this entire third hour tonight covering stories that have originated from professional sports leagues, the NBA and the NFL. Stories with a racial animus that need to be talked about tonight. And we will get to those stories, but this is live radio. This is live radio, and so not everything goes exactly according to plan. Before we get to those stories involving Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson and the Atlanta Hawks, a couple of stories that we mentioned in passing last week, we're going to get Keith's take on them this week as well. I want to first revisit a story that we spent a considerable amount of time talking about last week, Winston Smith and I. Keith, this mob beating in Memphis, Colin Flaherty has dedicated his career to covering these types of incidents. It was dozens, you know, nearly 100 black youths or teens, or they just call them teens. They didn't even mention their race. They would have if it had been the opposite. If it had been an unimaginable occurrence in which 100 white teenagers had attacked a disabled, handicapped, mentally disabled, black Kroger shopping cart collector, I'm pretty sure you would have heard about that on the news, for God's sake. Yeah, Al Sharpton would have been here, and Jesse Jackson, and wall-to-wall news coverage, and Eric Holder, and Barack Obama. It would have been his kids. Well, it was Barack Obama's kids. If Trayvon Martin's his kid, and if Michael Brown's his kid, well, these were his kids, too, stomping the head of this mentally disabled clerk at Kroger, dropping a 20-pound pumpkin on his head. Well, his mother went on Fox News this week and said that her kid just needs a little help, not really punishment. What he did was wrong, but he needs help more than punishment. But what I was interested to see in this interview on the local Fox affiliate here in Memphis is that an articulate black gentleman here in the local Memphis area, Keith, referred to those who took place in the attack, and we know their ethnicity. He said that they were not human, that they were savage beasts and domestic terrorists. Now, that's coming from a leading voice in the black community here in Memphis. I agree with this man, and I appreciate his honesty. So, Keith, let's take it from the top. You weren't here to talk about this last week. Let's cover it quickly before we shift to the sports leagues. Your take on the attack in general, and then the response from the mother and from, I believe it was it Kenneth Whalum who said that?
Kenneth Whalum may have done that. He is a black preacher who's a little bit of a lightning rod and an iconoclast in the black community here in Memphis. He takes unorthodox positions, often positions that are leavened with common sense, which makes him unique in the black community as a spokesman. Okay? Now, let me give you my take on this whole episode. We've had black flash mobs in Memphis before. We've had black attacks on people before. Usually these happen in all or nearly all black neighborhoods, or they happen at entertainment venues like Beale Street or at some music festival. This represents what happened in Poplar Plaza, represents a pushing of the envelope. What is happening now is that they're going into predominantly white neighborhoods like the Poplar Plaza, the Poplar Highland area. It's called Midtown by some. It's really not Midtown proper in Memphis. That is within the circumference of the Parkway system, which was the original perimeter expressway of Memphis when it was built in 1915. This is a little bit further out than that, but still in what they would deem to be Old East Memphis. It's the nearest to the center of the city, big, prosperous shopping center. I used to go there when I was a child in the 50s and the 60s, and it's still a nice area. It's part of what is euphemistically called in Memphis the Poplar Corridor. Poplar is a street that runs from the river in Memphis, which is the far western perimeter in downtown Memphis, all the way out to the end of Shelby County, which is Collierville. And it is a euphemism, I said, and the euphemism is that it's the white part of town. The Poplar Corridor refers to those in the know as the white part of town. The Poplar Corridor is like an Indian arrowhead. It's wide at the base, and as you move to the west, from east to west, it gradually narrows like an Indian arrowhead until when you're down at the river, it's basically just Poplar Avenue, and on either side are rough neighborhoods. In fact, from the medical center to downtown Memphis, that's what Poplar is. But before then, it gradually widens out, and you have relatively safe, decent neighborhoods that are either mixed racially or predominantly white. Well, this represents an amping up, because now the violence is being visited into white neighborhoods. And I don't think this is just a coincidence. I think this was planned. The conflagration started in CC's Pizza, which was driven out of business for about 6 months and it just reopened. It was driven out of business because their specialty is all-you-can-eat pizza, and you can imagine the attraction that holds for certain people that tend to weigh in excess of 300 pounds. And they come there, and they basically ate them out of house and home. They ate them into the verge of bankruptcy, so they shut it down. They tried to figure out something else that they could do there. Well, again, the usual suspects showed up, and this time the supposed occasion was a rumble or a fight between female members of two rival black gangs. And it spilled out into the parking area of the shopping center and then migrated from CC's Pizza, which is at the far east, northeast end, to a brand new top-of-the-line Kroger grocery store. Memphis has been described by numerous liberals as a food desert, and in comparison to a place like Texas, it is. They do not have HEBs. They have two Whole Food grocery stores in Memphis. They have two Fresh Market grocery stores in Memphis. Other than that, Kroger is top of the line, okay? Well, Kroger has come out as king of the hill in grocery wars in Memphis, and they celebrated by making the Poplar Plaza store their flagship store. They shut down and then tore down their old store while they were building a brand new Kroger store, which has all the amenities, all is, you know, is close to a Whole Foods type experience as you can get at a Kroger. And it is the centerpiece now of the Poplar Plaza shopping center. Well, I think it was targeted by certain people, let them know that for the white population, you can run, but you can't hide. We're going to visit mayhem and physical violence upon you, even here in your domain. We'll talk about this in more detail after these words from our sponsors.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, Keith, we only have 3 segments left in this show, which is going by far too quickly, as they always do. I mean, we jealously guard our 3 hours of airtime on the nationally syndicated airwaves each and every Saturday night. And each and every Saturday night for 10 years, we have been here and we have kept the embers aflame, and we've done so with your prayer, support, and financial considerations. And folks, again, please remember that we are in the midst, and with only 10 days remaining in our crucial third quarter fundraising drive, we need your support. We need it. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. All right, Keith, I want to switch gears and talk a little bit about there's 3 stories I want to cover in the 3 segments we have remaining, and 2 of them we covered last week, at least a little bit. First, Ray Rice. Now, Ray Rice has been suspended indefinitely. He is a black football player for the Baltimore Ravens. He was suspended for 2 games earlier this year for knocking out his then-fiance in an elevator in Atlantic City, New Jersey, at a casino. Well, after the video was made light by a celebrity gossip site, the video was made public a couple of weeks ago. He has now been suspended indefinitely, and the cries from the establishment media are deafening, that the NFL, and specifically NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, one of the few non-Jewish commissioners in professional sports, should have addressed this violence. The NFL needs to get a handle on its violence. Well, it puts the NFL in a tough situation. 99 times out of 100 to discipline black people for being violent
is racist.
So if the NFL were to lower the hammer on Ray Rice for knocking out his fiance, it would have been racist. Now, all of a sudden, it was their moral duty to do so. Well, this is the behavior that you can see from that community. Not all of them, of course, but enough to warrant a trend, to say the least. And when black men aren't beating on members of their family, black women are. And I've seen it myself. Again, I don't mean to stereotype, but it is something that is obviously a common occurrence there. So anyway, getting back to the gist of the matter, Keith, 99 times out of 100, it's racist to discipline blacks for this type of behavior. Now, all of a sudden, and for whatever reason, the NFL is just morally inept for not having, you know, kicked this guy out of the league. Well, if they kick every black person out of the league that is engaged in an act of violence, they're going to be playing Iron Man football.
Well, let me tell you, it's a Hobson's choice. Damned if you do, damned if you don't, in the politically correct rule book that tends to govern public life in America today. If you come down hard on the domestic violence perpetrators like Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, Adrian Peterson, and others, then you're a racist. On the other hand, if you try to sweep it under the rug, which is, you know, been the traditional response of the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball when they encounter these problems, now you're a misogynist. So it's a can't-win situation for them. They've put themselves into this situation by being so slavishly devoted to political correctness. And quite frankly, I'm getting no end of pleasure out of seeing them try to squirm, seeing some worm like Roger Goodell putting his head on the chopping block because he could not serve the false gods of political correctness. What did all of the offenders of the domestic violence standards have in common, James?
Well, I mean, I think we know what the common denominator there
is. Well, just tell me.
They're all black.
You know, you don't see Peyton and Eli Manning perpetrating domestic violence on their wives or significant others, okay? In fact, if the league was full of Peyton Mannings and Eli Mannings, we would not have any problem like this to discuss. This is a black cultural trend and a black problem. This is a perfect example of the loggerheads to which liberalism finds itself in, where two of their constituent protected groups, women on one hand, backed by feminists, and blacks, based by the so-called civil rights establishment, find themselves at odds. I remember back in the 90s during the Bill Clinton presidency in the United States, the Violence Against Women's Act was pushed through Congress by Clinton and by the Democrats, who had a majority at the beginning of his presidency. At that time, I predicted that this was going to be disproportionately used against black men. And quite frankly, if it were properly and fairly and impartially administered, the second biggest group that would be caught by it would be black women. I have read before in publications like the Occidental Observer and the Occidental Quarterly that it is a physiological fact, a biological fact, that black women have more testosterone in their makeup than a lot of white and oriental men.
I want to say this, Keith, and I shared this story on the air last week, and I get no pleasure in sharing it, but you know my wife's 8.5 months pregnant now. And we went in a week before last to her regularly scheduled OBGYN appointment. And as we were walking into the hospital where the doctor's office is located, I noticed this, you know, and I'm being honest here and I'm being sincere and I'm being factual. It was about a 300-pound black woman coming out with her toddler child. And it was just them two. Obviously, there was no father there, which is not unusual. But she was yelling at this child, and the child was crying. I felt really bad for the kid. And I'm all about discipline, and we will talk about discipline in the next segment, which actually goes into this Adrian Peterson story, which is also rocking the NFL this week. And so we're going to talk about that next. But I'm all about disciplining children. I'm all about not sparing the rod and not spoiling the child. But I watched this black woman jerking, really, this toddler by the hand, barely able to walk, maybe 2 years old, this young black girl. And she put her into the car, and I heard her yelling at her so loud. I mean, it reverberated across the buildings, and I saw her start to slap her. And I very nearly, if I hadn't have been James Edwards, if I had been any other person who could have possibly gotten away with it, I would have gone over and confronted her. Obviously, for me to do that with my reputation, such as it is, and background, it would have been obviously a hate crime to say anything other than just flowery praise towards this woman. But you know, I watched her slap this toddler abusively. And the child is just wailing, and you wanted to go help the kid. But, I mean, obviously violence is something that is ingrained and something that a lot of these children get birthed with.
Well, just look at the Ray Rice situation. What they don't show you is that the whole incident was precipitated by the female, Janine, now Rice, she was his fiance at the time, attacking and slapping Ray Rice.
And she did marry him, even though this abuse or this knockout blow took place, but that's obviously notwithstanding now.
Well, let me tell you, that's another thing that I have seen in my professional career that goes underreported, not only among black people, but among white people and people of all races. A lot of women who are the victims of abuse, physical abuse by the men in their life, actually don't want to prosecute. See, the Violence Against Women's Act has really brought this into focus, James, because the Violence Against Women's Act basically puts a bounty on the head of any male sexual abuser, okay, or domestic violence perpetrator. Local law enforcement gets access to federal grants by proving, one, that they have a big domestic violence problem in their community, and two, that they're doing something significant about it. We'll follow up with these thoughts right after these words from our sponsors.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Like Keith, I enjoy watching the NFL squirm over this. I can't quite understand the establishment's take on it. Why all of a sudden they're concerned about violence? I guess because certainly it happened against a woman. You know, if it had happened, if he had knocked out a cold-cocked a white male in the elevator, it probably would have been version of the work as the NFL originally intended. But Keith, quickly comment on that, and I want to get to Adrian Peterson.
Okay, here's what I think about the whole thing in a nutshell. It proves the wisdom of T.S. Eliot in his poem, The Hollow Men, in which he said, "This is the way the world will end. This is the way the world will end. This is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper." What you're seeing from Roger Goodell and the NFL establishment is that collective whimpering which signals the end of the world. White people apparently have lost the ability to comment commonsensibly about any type of racial conflict or racial problem. And when they're confronted with it, they just crawl up into the umbilical position and start sucking their collective thumbs like Roger Goodell. He's basically preparing himself to commit public Harry Caray, to walk away from a multi-million-dollar-a-year job because he couldn't find the magic formula to appease political correctness and please both the feminists on one hand and the black racists on the other.
I love that, Keith. Racists of color, as Winston would call them, and the feminists. It's hard to appease both when they're
at loggerheads.
When they're at odds with one another, when their interests are at the expense of one another. Roger Goodell makes $40 million a year, by the way. And, you know, there's multiple cases of domestic violence among black couples percolating in the NFL as we sit. There's a guy for the San Francisco 49ers who is under investigation by the police for beating his girlfriend or fiance or wife or whatever, but he's still being allowed to play because the media didn't pick up on it as much.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Basically, if they follow this to its logical conclusion, we will have an all-white NBA and NFL again, like we had in the 1950s or the 1940s. It's incredible that they somehow don't want to recognize this correlation between black people and domestic violence. The Violence Against Women's Act, which I was talking about right before the break, puts a bounty on the head of domestic violence perpetrators. Local law enforcement gets large multi-million-dollar federal block grants for proving two things. One, we have a big domestic violence problem here, and two, we're doing something significant about it. Well, that's why if some unfortunate person has an unbalanced girlfriend or wife who calls the police because she thinks, however erroneously, that she has been the victim of domestic violence, you get caught. It's like getting your hands caught in a machine, in the gears of a machine. It's not going to spit you out until it's darn well through with you. You can't get them to allow you to dismiss the charges, which is what 90% of the female victims want eventually. They just want some leverage in the argument. Instead, they make the unfortunate male caught with his hands in the gears plead guilty. They say, "You plead guilty, we won't fine you, we won't imprison you, we won't even charge you court costs. But we need that scalp on the belt," this is what they don't tell you, "in order to wave it in front of the feds and say, looky here, we're doing a great job on domestic violence, and we sure do have a lot of it, so roll that money down here towards us." Well, then that unfortunate male finds out he can't get a government job anywhere. He can't work on the railroad. He can't work on the river. He can't work on the police force. He can't do anything. About half of his career opportunities are foreclosed to him because of that. And then they come to somebody like me and say, "Can you get this turned around in about $5,000 to $10,000 of legal work later, you may or may not be able to do that for them. But that's the result in real world practical terms of the Violence Against Women's Act and this fixation on domestic violence.
Well, speaking of domestic violence or the specter thereof, I want to switch now to the story of Adrian Peterson, another big controversy in the NFL, manufactured or not. It'll be up to you to decide. But Adrian Peterson is a black running back for the Minnesota Vikings. And hold your breath, ladies and gentlemen, and take your seats. James Edwards is coming out on the side of Adrian Peterson. I'm going to take his part on this one. Basically, what's going on is Adrian Peterson, like Ray Rice, but for different reasons, has been suspended indefinitely by his team, the Minnesota Vikings. Well, Adrian Peterson, what did he do? He whipped his son with a switch. Now, first of all, that a black superstar in the NFL knows who his son is and is taking an active part in his discipline is something that is to be applauded and to be respected, something that we encourage. Did he go a little bit over the top? If you look at some of the pictures of the wounds allegedly to have been made from this switching, you could say maybe yes or no. But what this has become is that this man has been suspended indefinitely from his team for disciplining his child. The public referendum is on corporal punishment and discipline of children. Now, let me tell you something. When I was growing up, I was born in 1980 in the South, and spare the rod and spoil the child was still very much the way of the world, and I appreciate that, and that's the way I parent. I don't mind saying. Not to the point of abuse. Ray Peterson's former discipline toted the line, I think. I think he might have gone a little bit overboard, but you tell him not to do it that hard again, but not. It's become a public referendum on whippings and all of that. Listen, my dad whipped me liberally.
Not conservatively.
I was whipped liberally as a child, and I think I got my last whipping when I was 15 years old, or 16. We'd already moved into the house. We moved when I was 16 years old. My dad bought me a truck, and I can remember getting whipped in that truck. I mean, with the belt. So I remember getting whippings with his belt. I remember my grandmother taking a switch. You know what a switch is if you're from the South. You take a branch off a tree, and you take the limbs and the leaves off of it, and you get whipped with it on the leg. I remember my grandmother whipping me so much I bled with a switch. But you know what? I appreciate that now. Let me tell you this honestly. I appreciate that. I'm a 34-year-old man now. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a head of household. I appreciate that more now than I ever have before, and I know that is the true meaning of love. And when I have to spank my daughter, you know, it truly is. It truly, you know, what they always told me, I understand now. It hurts me more than it hurts her. And it truly does break your heart to see them cry. And it's a horrible thing. But it's for their best, and you know that when you're doing that, it's instilling within them virtue and discipline and rules and responsibility. And so I'm going to toss it back over to Keith, but I appreciate my parents and my grandparents disciplining me in that way. Now, did Adrian Peterson go overboard? Maybe he did. But what this has become is not whether he did or didn't, but a referendum on all forms of discipline other than time out or let's talk about it with a four-year-old. You know, let's have a council. And Christian parenting, I think. But that he would have been suspended indefinitely and lost all of his endorsements for disciplining his child. Listen, that is to be applauded. Now, maybe he was wrong in doing it to the extent of the severity that he did. But that he has taken an interest in the discipline of his son is something that most black NFL players couldn't even dream of, Keith.
Look, what does the book of Proverbs say? It says, he who will not chastise or whip his child hates his child. That's what it says. I'm paraphrasing now, but that's what the Bible has to say. And if you're a Christian, that should be instructive. Not only instructive, that should be definitive. It's telling you spare the rod and spoil the child, which is the common sense version or interpretation of that particular part of the Bible. Now, my father used to double up his belt and spank me. I had a sister who was a misplaced blue stater in Red State America. She moved, kicked the benighted dust of Red State America off her shoes as soon as she could, moved to New York City. And I remember after she was talking with some female psychologist who, one, wound up convincing her to break up a perfectly good marriage, and two, had her questioning her parents and the way that she was raised, trying to enlist me in her cause by asking me, I remember you running with terror in your eyes as Dad chased you down the hall with his belt doubled up, getting ready to spank you. And I said, she sure did, and that's because I was a little hellion and I deserved it. And I'm a better person now for having received that type of corporal punishment than I would have been otherwise. Kids in school, when I went to school, if you were a boy and you so much as said something remotely smart-alecky in class, you would be taken out in the hall and you would get three licks with a paddle that had holes drilled into it, typically. And I don't think that's any worse. I'm any worse for the wear for that.
I want to talk about that when we come back, Keith. Thank you for mentioning that, because I can even remember that, born as late as I was in 80 in kindergarten in the mid-80s. Getting whipped like that by my kindergarten teacher. That seems like something from the dinosaur age now. But we're going to take a break and revisit that and more when we come back. Stay tuned.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith, we got to really make case because we got three or four things we need to cover. This is our last segment of the night. The show always goes by far too quickly. But with Adrian Peterson, I want to say very quickly, and I think this is the simple statement that should have been made rather than suspending him for trying to take an active interest in his son's life. I mean, this is one of the problems that plagues young black teens, as they are so, or teens, as they're so often called. Lack of a father. That's not the only problem, but it's one of them, to be sure. And I think you say, you know, listen, discipline is great. Be careful not to go overboard. That's all that should have been said. And if it happens again, then you got a problem that needs to be dealt with, I think, because you've got a trend. But yeah, I remember being in kindergarten in the mid-80s, getting spanked by my kindergarten teacher with an open paddle. They, of course, stamped that out not long after that across America, but I'm even old enough at 34 to remember the days where that happened. So cover that quickly in the situation in San Francisco, Keith, because we got to make haste.
Okay, here's the situation. You wouldn't have situations like the Poplar mob attack if you had more discipline of young black males by authority figures, particularly their fathers. Their fathers are the only ones that can instill enough fear in them to make them toe the line. You've seen a marked decline in appropriate behavior among black teenagers, particularly males. At the same time, it coincides with the prohibition against corporal punishment that has swept the nation, that you can't use this, and of course, one of the great damning facts that they used to use to support their prohibition on corporal punishment was that black boys got punished much more frequently than white boys. Well, they needed it. A lot of black people, like this aforementioned Reverend Kenneth Whalum in Memphis, who was on the Memphis School Board, said, that's the only way you can control these young men from poverty in the schools. If you don't allow them to do that, then you can just forget teaching them anything. You're going to let the inmates run the asylum because they will respect nothing else. And that's exactly what has happened. Kenneth Whalum was absolutely right. And of course, people like us predicted the same thing. But of course, anybody that would say anything other than glowing positive comments about black people is, particularly if they're white, a racist. If they're black, they're just crazy, okay? Which is not quite as bad as being a racist. Now, let me point out also that in the domestic violence male-female equation, compare Greg Hardy, who is from Memphis, Briarcrest, same school Briarcrest that Michael Orr attended, of the Blind Side fame. Greg Hardy broke up with his female companion and is being accused and has been prosecuted for domestic violence. Now, why did his significant other want to proceed where Ray Rice's significant other didn't? Well, could it have something to do with the fact that Ray Rice wound up marrying the woman and now she's his wife and shares in his fortune, and she knows that if he's not playing NFL football, probably his next best job option is riding shotgun on the neighborhood garbage truck, and she'd much rather be married to a millionaire football player than some public sector employee of the sanitation department.
And it should be added, Keith, that his wife, Ray Rice's wife, has come out in opposition, obviously, against the sanctions against her husband.
And that's because it's getting into her pocketbook. See, it's a way of blackmail. On the other hand, Greg Hardy continued to keep his significant other cast out and said, we're finished, we're broken up. So now she's retaliating by continuing to press the charges. Does this have anything to do with any type of real assessment, real world assessment of the domestic violence? No, it doesn't. And when you have something like the Ray Rice case where you have a videotape showing it, I don't care if the woman wants to cooperate or not. You've got the goods on the guy. Go to trial and punish him, regardless of what the woman thinks. If you're going to have the laws on the book. If you're not, if it's something that is basically subject to the whims of whatever misguided woman was the victim, then forget about it altogether. It's already a crime to assault another human being, whether it's a woman or a man. All the Violence Against Women's Act does is give enhanced punishment against males attacking females, basically, and that's it.
Keith, we have 5 minutes left in the show tonight, not nearly enough time to finish everything we need to talk about. But I should say, and I should reiterate, that I'm glad that the NFL is suffering these controversies. This is the same NFL. They do deserve it, because this is the same NFL, if for no other reason. Tim Tebow was basically drummed out of the league by the media for being too controversial.
Because he was good.
Because he was a Christian. Now, he won an NFL playoff game in his first and only year as a starter from reel to reel. That's more than Tony Romo has done. He was drummed out of the league because he was too controversial. Well, this is the same NFL that allowed him to be drummed out for being a Christian, but the NFL league offices called every team in the league after the St. Louis Rams cut the homosexual Michael Sam and petitioned them to sign him to their team, and the Dallas Cowboys took the bait. Yeah, he wasn't good enough to make the St. Louis Rams. The NFL never takes the part of an undrafted an unsigned free agent, but they did it on his behalf.
Because they have something they consider to be more important than playing football, just like Hollywood has something they consider to be more important than making profits, and that is forwarding the progressive agenda, or the liberal agenda, the left-wing agenda. I was just talking at this party that I attended earlier in the evening that caused me to be absent from the first hour of the show, and talked with a young woman who lives on Manhattan in New York. And we got to talking about my experiences there in the 70s, and she admitted to me that in Manhattan, now, heterosexuality is the new homosexuality. In other words, you are marginalized and out of step with the majority there now if you're a heterosexual.
And it's becoming that.
The truth is stranger than fiction, folks. The left is actually transforming our society. They are destroying it brick by brick, plank by plank, and they will not be satisfied until we have embraced sin as virtue and considered virtue as sin. Tim Tebow versus Michael Vick, or Tim Tebow versus Ray Rice or Michael Sam's. Perfect exhibits to the case that we're making.
All right, Keith, 2 minutes remaining. We covered this last week, too. Want to get your take on it in 60 seconds or less. The owner of the Atlanta Hawks also being drummed out of the NBA in the same form and fashion that his fellow Jewish owner, Donald Sterling, was of the Los Angeles Clippers for making so-called racist remarks. Now, the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers, Donald Sterling, was forced to sell his franchise by the NBA. Now, Mr. Levinson of the Atlanta Hawks is being forced to do the same, although he volunteered the information that he was a so-called racist by saying that people don't attend NBA games in Atlanta because the black fans drive off the white fans. You think that was done for monetary gain?
Yeah, don't ever accuse Jewish people of not being smart, because they are. They know when they create this false reality of liberalism in America, they know how to profit from it. Mr. Levinson, unfortunately, had one of the sad sack franchises of all time in professional sports with the Atlanta Hawks. They can't draw people to their arena. And, of course, Mr. Levinson, who would desperately like to get out of paying these pampered brats known as his players millions upon millions of dollars to continue to lose and drive off fans, has come up with the perfect formula for selling the team. He saw what happened to Donald Sterling for allegedly making racist comments. He wound up selling the Los Angeles Clippers for a record price for a franchise.
$2 billion.
This is more than the most successful franchise in the NBA has sold for in the past when it was offered on the free market. The league wound up buying Sterling out, or assisting someone else to buy Sterling out, in order to get the, to win kudos from the politically correct crowd. Levinson offered up his own so-called racist comments so they would do the same and buy the Atlanta Hawks from him for a record price, just like Sterling. If you can't beat them, join them. You know, so like I said, this is almost laughable what is happening in the NBA. They're being rewarded. They've now found a way to be rewarded for being a nasty old racist.
And I, basically all he said was that the city of Atlanta doesn't turn out for games because it's majority black, which everyone knows to be true. The same thing happens here in Memphis, except for playoff games. You can go into Memphis and get less fans there than you could at a high school basketball game.
Yeah, and they never pay full price either.
Well, Keith, that's all we got time for tonight, folks. I want to mention, went to the mailbox yesterday. We had a couple of checks in the mail on Friday, one from William in Rockville, Maryland for $25, one from Tom in Dallas for $10. Listen, these are the kind of contributions that keep our work on the air, and we appreciate them sincerely and more than you know. Remember, we got 10 days left in September in the third quarter fundraising drive. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and do your bit. We'll do ours. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
To keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.